we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to each of our listeners today, whether you've tuned in for the first time or are a longtime friend. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray that the message and music heard today will be a blessing to you during this next week. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. True Christianity is very confrontational. How does this message sell in our culture that often seeks to move away from confrontation? I'm going to visit with you about that in a sermon today. We hope that you'll continue to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as we enter into your presence today, we ask that we might hear your word clearly. We realize that we live in a day where reality is often avoided because it is not comfortable. But grant, O God, that we may find that peace which passes all understanding by bringing our sins to you and knowing that in Christ Jesus they are forgiven. Give to us today what once you gave to Peter as he sat there by the Sea of Tiberias. It is in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Lord, yes, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Lord, 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 L
Friends in Christ, do you ever have a desire to have a serious talk with someone, but lack the courage to get at the real problem you want to discuss? You have the meeting, you talk around the subject that needs to be discussed, and the conversation ends with nothing being accomplished at all. Once in a while, I'll have a lunch with a friend who will say, can we eat together this noon? And so we go to the restaurant and we sit there and talk, and pretty soon I wonder, what is the purpose of our being together? Doesn't seem that it's all adding up to what he is talking about or she is talking about. And so I finally, in kindness, say, you know, I'm enjoying this luncheon a great deal. I like you and I enjoy visiting with you. But did you have a particular purpose for calling us together today? If so, I think we really ought to get on with it so that this is a luncheon that really has fulfilled the purpose for our being here. Perhaps I have described a situation in your life today that might ring a bell. Maybe there's something between you as a husband and a wife, and you think about discussing it, but then you finally conclude, oh, it isn't worth it. He or she will get all upset, so why don't we just continue on the way we're going? Or maybe it's with another person. You don't quite know how to approach the subject. Well, it's healthy to get the agenda on the table and discuss what is really bothering us. And this is what Jesus is doing in our text today. He breaks the ice. Peter was in a terrible predicament. His conscience was killing him. The last conversation that he had had with Jesus was only a few hours before our Lord was arrested. It was at that particular time Jesus said to the crowd, you know, tonight you will all fall away on account of me. To which Peter replied, Lord, that isn't true. Even if they all fall away on account of you, I never will. Not I, Lord. Maybe some of the rest, but not I. And then came the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And several times Peter had seen Jesus, but he had never had the opportunity to sit down with the Master alone and discuss what he had really done. But then came that day when the setting was just right. They were by the Sea of Tiberias. As they were sitting there, great things happened, but there was something that had happened before. Peter and the rest of the disciples, or at least seven of them, grew very antsy, and they didn't quite know what to do with themselves. They were supposed to be waiting around to see what the next move was as disciples of the Lord Jesus. And so finally, Peter said to the crowd, you know, I'm going to go fishing. How would you like to go along with me? And then it was that a few of the disciples said, yeah, we'll come. So they fished all night, and they didn't catch anything. But as they approached the shore from that unsuccessful fishing trip, they saw a figure. And then someone said, you know, it's the Lord. And as they began to look, they saw it truly was Jesus. Peter then got so excited that he just jumps out of the boat and comes to the Master. Now I'm going to really have a chance to talk with him. But Jesus slowed it down a little bit. And finally, he said to the whole crowd, let's have breakfast. So they took some of the fish and they fixed the meal. And after they had eaten, Jesus uttered these words to Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? Notice, I personally believe it was that word, more than these. You remember again that Peter had said that the rest might leave, but I'm not going to leave. More than these, do you love me, Peter? What is it that Jesus is doing right here? He is breaking the ice. He is putting the facts on the table. This is reality. Here was a person who could say, yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, on one occasion, but now he was saying before the enemies of Jesus, I don't even know him. You can be sure, friend, that there were many tormenting questions that had come to Peter during those days after the denial. Perhaps he asked himself the question, do I really love him? And the answer was, of course I do. Well, then, is my love only verbal? I didn't show my love. I could voice it. I could say, yes, I love you, Lord, but I just didn't do it. Is that really love? Or Peter could have, I can't imagine it, but he could have begun to philosophize. And he could have asked himself the question, well, what is love after all? And then I believe Jesus, in his confrontational tone, would have said, let's get to the point. This is not a time to philosophize. This is a time to be very practical. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? You see, friend, God's word is extremely confrontational. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes that very clear when he writes to the people of his day, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even for the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, let's get on with it. No more playing games. Down with the defenses and away with the excuses. God's word, my friend, is confrontational. And here is a question. How is that received in our day when we're not supposed to make people uneasy? If you want to sell anything, you don't make them uneasy. And we are being told sometimes by certain voices in the Christian faith, if you really want people to buy into this Christianity, you've got to make it very nice. We call it sort of a theology of glory. Recently, I was at a preacher's conference in Florida. And during the course of our program there, there was a very intelligent person who was describing to us the world of which we are a part and the people to whom we preach on a Sunday morning. Now, I'd like to take this beyond just the preaching, and I'd like to have it become a part of the whole movement of the church. The whole message of the laity is as well as the clergy. Here is what this individual said, very well trained, degrees from Duke University and Princeton University. She said this, you know, there are certain cities in America who seem to symbolize what has caught the attention of our culture at that present time. And this affects how we communicate to the people. For example, she went on to say, in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, the city could be Boston. Boston was the place where, for example, there was a great deal of patriotism. They were enjoying the freedom that had become theirs as the Revolutionary War had come to an end. So a preacher then in Boston, probably, if he wanted the attention of his people in those days, would have talked about freedom, patriotism, our place in God's kingdom in this whole situation. And then as the days went on and you got into the 1800s and even into the 1900s a little bit, it was New York. And now it was the place where the immigrants were coming from Europe. The land was growing. The stock markets were being started. The financial center of the world, at least in the New World, was none other than New York. And so the preacher certainly had to bring that into his thoughts as he presented the sermon Sunday after Sunday to his people. Well, then, after a while, it moved west, and he came to Chicago. For now it was trade, world trade. And one of the greatest items on the counter there in this world trade movement was none other than agriculture. And so you would talk about great trade, where we're going in this world. We're going to feed the world, and all of these great topics that went along with it. And then finally, we come into our day, and it has moved farther westward, and the city that symbolizes our culture today is, what do you think? None other than Las Vegas. It symbolizes pleasure and enjoyment. Remember, this is not an attack on any particular city. It is simply describing where America is in her thinking today. What is it that we want? Well, the trade is pretty good. I guess the Congress fools around with that a little bit from time to time, but it isn't too bad. And we see that there seems to be pretty good money around. The finance is not too bad. So we seek after pleasure. Pleasure. Now then, how does the church address this particular type of a culture? Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have a very positive, upbeat message. And here, the Word of God is telling us that we are to be quite confrontational. Here it's got to be the prophetic message that tells the story that this is the will of God. The Word of God has spoken. Well, that is not very, very popular in our day. And yet, our speaker went on to say, you know what has happened? We and the church have fallen into the very culture of which we are a part. And we have decided that it was well to try to bring a soft message and to some extent make the service very, very appealing, in fact, somewhat entertaining, and there's nothing wrong with it, except that we never quite get around to the point of the prophetic utterance that God has spoken in his word, and he says, thus saith the Lord. Well, Jesus here with Peter is extremely confrontational. He is saying to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he finally brought Peter to his knees. I have sinned. My love is certainly inadequate. I am wrong, Lord. But then notice the confrontation that comes. This is what we really need to hear. When Peter had been broken, when Peter had had the opportunity in that conversation, and we don't know how long it went on, to put it all before Jesus, to get rid of his rationalizing, and say to him, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I don't know if I love you more than John or Andrew, Matthew or the rest of them. I do love you, Lord. I made a terrible mistake. I denied you. I wish I could take it all back. But I can't. I come to confess my sin. And so it is that Jesus turns and looks at the man, and he says to him, Peter, you go out and feed my lambs. You tend my sheep. Yes, you feed my sheep. Peter, it wasn't very many hours ago that you stood beneath the cross, and there you saw me suffering and dying for the sins of the world. Peter, it was for your sin that I died. Not only for yours, but for the sins of all of the world. I not only forgive you, Peter, I empower you to be a strong witness for me. Once you thought you could be this kind of a witness on your own strength, but experience has taught you better. Now you can say, yes, I am one of his, even though it may cost my life, because the strength will be coming from me. Peter went away from that place. He went away so happy because He had been in the presence of Jesus. Jesus had broken the ice. They had really gotten down to what the real problem was. And you know, friend, that's where we need to be. Whether it's in our relationship with another person, or more than that, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to get away from the superficial. We need to get into the reality and the honesty of life and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am helpless, and there is no way that I can get rid of my sin save in the message of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then come. And when you come, he is always there. This is a confrontation he wants. He is not primarily concerned. It is necessary, and therefore he does it. He is not primarily concerned about telling you what a sinner you are, but rather he's anxious to tell you that you can be forgiven in him. And after you've had that time with Jesus, there is a peace which passes all understanding. As he met Peter by the sea, so he meets us in his word today. There he breaks the ice and confronts us with our sins, only to confront us with his love, his forgiving grace, and offer us forgiveness and the assurance that in Christ we belong to our Father forever and ever. Then, my friend, all is well between my Heavenly Father and me. He loves you. He wants to break the ice. He wants to be honest with you and me. And then he wants to forgive us. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we live in the afterglow of Easter and realize all that you have done for us, grant, O Lord, that we may come to you, the risen and living Lord, day in and day out, that we might have our times together, that there you will have the opportunity to confront us, but there you will also have the opportunity to reassure us who are so often skeptical that you do love us, and that you have saved us in Jesus Christ our Lord. God, we pray that with this fantastic message of Easter, your Church of Jesus Christ may go forth into this world, spreading the good news and telling the world that there is hope. But before there can be hope, there has to be honesty. O Lord, make us honest. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. We would like to know a little about you also. As part of our listening family, you are important to us. All listeners who respond will be sent a booklet of biblical passages titled God's Promises to You. This booklet offers words of comfort and encouragement. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or call our toll-free phone number 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484, Monday through Friday. You may leave a message for us at any time. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Once more, our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number again is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.